Hello and welcome everyone to this Open Systems Publishing eCast. The subject today is ComExpress, which is the new computer on module specification from PCMIG. I'm Joe Pavlot, the president of PCMIG, the organization that developed the ComExpress standard, and I'll be acting as a moderator today. We have two speakers with us today, Bob Pebley, who's a Radisys fellow, an all-around good guy, and Jennifer Zickel, who's a product line manager at Radisys. They're each going to make a formal presentation, total time of about 20 minutes, and then at the end we'll entertain questions. As you know, viewers to this don't have audio, so you type the questions in, they show up in our questions box, and we'll dispatch them at during the question and answer period at the end. Also, during the call, or during the eCast, a couple of times a little poll is going to pop up, so if you would just go ahead and answer that, that helps us get feedback about these eCasts and make them better for the future. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Bob Pebley from Radisys to talk about ComExpress. Bob?
Thanks, Joe. My name is Bob Pebley. I'm a fellow in the technology office at Radisys, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of ComExpress and where it came from and what it is, and then I'll hand it over to Jennifer, who will talk a little bit more about ComExpress and ETX. ComExpress is basically a computer on module. It's not a new concept. It's been around for years. It's basically the idea of a small modular board containing the CPU and memory and paired with an application-specific carrier or I.O. board. It enables very specific customization in this embedded space such that you can break apart the design between your processor core and all the I.O. necessary for a particular embedded application. One of the main goals of this standard is to reduce time to market in that OEMs can develop their specific application I.O. board and then simply select the appropriate COM module to plug onto their board for their application. ComExpress is the standard from PCMIG for computer on modules. It was ratified back in July of 2005, and it basically supports the latest generation of high-speed signaling and serial interface technologies, including USB, SAS, serial ATA, Gigabit Ethernet, and PCI Express. So why ComExpress? If we go back to 2004, when the ComExpress effort began, there was basically a need for a new standard in that there were many technologies that were transitioning in the Intel PC architecture. It was at that time that PCI was transitioning to PCI Express, parallel SCSI and IDE interfaces were transitioning to serial ATA and serial attached SCSI. USB was becoming predominant and replacing a lot of the legacy I.O. interfaces. And Ethernet was transitioning quickly up to gigabit Ethernet speeds. So this drove the need for a new standard in a very fragmented market of computer and module standards. Additionally, OEMs were looking for the benefit of an open standard sponsored by an organization such as PCMIG. That allows them to provide upgrade paths and interchangeability and not be locked into any one vendor. It gives them the ability to quickly adapt to market changes and get to market faster with their products. It also takes a lot of risk out of the design of these type products in that a lot of the high-speed I.O. and the core design of a CPU is traditionally some of the more difficult parts of the design, and it lets the end user focus on their particular application I.O. In the long run, it also lowers service and repair costs in that inventories can be managed with common modules among different platforms and using reuse of carriers between different platforms and models of an application with through the use of different carriers and modules for different price points and performance points in their product line. So what is ComExpress? It was ratified in July of 2005, as I said. It defines an off-the-shelf, small form factor computer module. There's actually two module sizes that share a common pinout. The basic size is 125 millimeters by 95 millimeters, and the extended size is 155 millimeters by 110 millimeters. They use a common connector, which is two-row connector with 440 pins, and all the I.O. for the module comes through that connector, as opposed to some earlier module standards where there was cabling involved to the module. This makes it very simple and clean for operational aspects in that the module just plugs on and there's not a lot of cabling and things around it that detract from the reliability of the system. Again, the module provides the core processing functionality, and the carrier card is what implements the specific features and I.O. particular to the embedded system that the user is developing. From a timeline perspective, back in 2004 was when the standard working group was established, and it became part of PICMIG in the second half of 2004. The specification went into its final member review in the second quarter of 2005, and at about the same time, that's when we saw the first generation of ComExpress modules prototypes coming to market. It was adopted officially in June of 2005, and most of the first generation products from various vendors launched in the July 2005 timeframe. We're now well into 2006, and we're seeing the advent of dual-core processors and second-generation products coming out on the ComExpress standard. And we're already starting to see vendors take advantage of the upgrade capabilities and start to leverage some of the promise of ComExpress. With that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer Zickel, who will talk a little bit more about why ComExpress and why choose ComExpress and compare it with some of the alternatives.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Zickel, and I'm the ComExpress product line manager for RateAssist. I'm going to cover some of the differences between the computer on module product options today, ComExpress and ETX. Before the ComExpress standard was ratified in 2005, there were limited off-the-shelf choices in the computer on module market. There are many, many custom choices, but very few off-the-shelf choices. Plug and Run was a proprietary architecture that had some success in custom applications. PRPMC could be considered a COM, however, the shape was not conducive to Intel architecture. The Pentium processor and chipsets did not fit on it. AMC was in the process of being defined, although it appeared to focus mainly on ATCA and other system applications that required overhead and made it cost prohibitive for most standalone computer applications. ETX was the most popular module. It was small size and it was enabled to fit into small places. The square size was conducive to Intel processor and chipset layouts. Engineers purchasing and manufacturing loved the modularity concept. The height restrictions and heat spreader were specified and intended to make it a uniform size and shape for interchangeability. Now I will cover the main points of the ETX specification. ETX modules are specified to use a 5-volt supply. It has a 400-pin connectors aligned parallel to each other. X1 and X2 sit parallel across from X3 and X4. X1 contains the PCI bus, 4 USB ports, and audio. X2 contains the ISA bus signals. X3 contains VGA, LCD or LVDS, TV out, serial ports, IRDA, and LPT. X4 contains IDE, Ethernet, the speaker, the SM and I2C bus, and the power management signals. The confusing part of the specification is that options are available, but they are not clearly defined. There are defined pins for power management, but power management is not required to be used. However, the specification does not say that these pins are released for another use, and if they are released, what options can they be used for? The specification refers to the reserved pins that may not be used, but does not define what they are reserved for. The X3 connector can implement an LVDS flat panel interface or a parallel digital flat panel interface with different pinouts. The user is referred to the product specification. TV out is listed on the X3 connector, but it is stated that it is not a standard part of the ETX specification. Flexibility is good, but these types of definitions are at the core of dissatisfaction with the ETX modules. Although many modules follow the ETX specification, the modules can have drastically different pinouts, and the manufacturers are not required to call out any differences. Modules from different suppliers may not work on the same board, or their generation modules may or may not be compatible either. Flexibility is desired in a module form factor. However, there must be clear documentation within a specification so that compliant modules can be interchangeable. There's also been an additional release, 3.0, to the ETX specification that adds 2 SATA lines. It appears that the capability is added via connector to the top of the module. This requires cabling to get the signals off the module, but it does keep the X1 through X4 pinouts the same. Now I will briefly go over the ComExpress specification. The ComExpress standard is a tightly written specification with clearly defined options. It can be made in two sizes, 95 by 125 millimeters and 110 by 155, and has a 12-volt supply. There are two 220-pin connectors that are placed side by side to ease layout placement and connection on the carrier. There are five variations that can be used. These are tightly defined, and compliant modules must specify if they are type 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. These variations add PCI Express lanes or Ethernet ports as legacy I/O is dropped. There is a minimum and maximum number of I/Os specified within the specification, and the minimum must be met. For example, there must be a minimum of 4 USB ports, and the maximum is 8 USB ports. The reason for the minimum and maximum specifications is to enable future options for the user. When the standard was released, the chipsets did not yet support 8 USB. It was determined that 8 USB ports would be sufficient for users for the expected lifetime of the standard. If a design starts out on a module that supplies 4 USB, they can expect that the next generation will have the same or more USB ports as a feature of the chipset. For a supplier to claim their module is compliant to the PCMIG specification, the module must meet the specification 100%, no deviations. This is why a third-party standard is so critical to OEMs. It protects their investment by ensuring the next generation module will be compatible. I encourage anyone interested in finding out more to read both specifications. The ComExpress specification is available via the PCMIG website, www.pcmig.org. Here are the five variations that enable ComExpress to bridge the legacy I/O gap and become a form factor standard that can last for the duration. The variations trade off PCI and IDE to gain more PCI Express lanes or Ethernet. These types are well planned and have options for 10 gigabit Ethernet as well. Type 1 uses one 220-pin connector only, and it does not support PCI or IDE. All other modules use the two connectors for 440 total pins. Type 2 is currently the most popular module. It supports one PCI, one IDE, one Ethernet, and up to 22 PCI Express lanes. Type 3 is the next generation for ComExpress modules, where you drop the IDE and add Ethernet ports. Type 3 modules can have up to 3 gigabit Ethernet ports. Type 4 drops the PCI and keeps IDE and adds PCI Express lanes. We've not seen much pull for this version yet, but it might just be a matter of time. Type 5, the module of the future, contains no PCI or IDE. It is legacy 3. In 2 to 5 years, this is anticipated to be the most popular module type. A carrier can be designed to accept multiple module types. Additionally, the ComExpress specification provides the option for an EEPROM on the carrier that identifies the module type in case it's an incorrect module is socketed. As I've described, ComExpress and ETX are computer-on-module form factors that are closely linked, such as the size, shape, and concept. Going back to the start of ComExpress, the idea for a new COM module sprouted partly from the industry acceptance of the ETX modules. The modular concept had strong appeal, especially the ability for an OEM to own their application-specific I/O and upgrade the processor with relative ease. As suppliers looked at developing products to address this COM market, many realized that the higher speed interfaces such as PCI Express, SAS, SATA, and USB 2.0 would create a technology gap that ETX could not fully fill. Thus, the start of the PCMIG ComExpress specification began. The ComExpress specification had broad industry participation within PCMIG. PCMIG, again, is a third-party open industry standards organization, and release 1.0 of the specification was ratified in July 2005. ComExpress incorporates the requirements of a wide spectrum of embedded applications due to the participation of many leading companies across the embedded industry. It is based on the latest I/O technology and can scale to realize the full potential of today's CPUs, such as the Intel Core 2 Duo processors and high-speed memory. ComExpress also provides a safe migration path from legacy to new technology by enabling legacy and new I/O technologies to coexist in the same design. In 2004, when the ComExpress specification was defined, the CPU data processing speeds were increasing in accordance with Moore's Law. while the ISABUS, PCIBUS, AGP, ATAPI, serial and parallel port interfaces were reaching their limits. As the CPUs and memory performance outpaced the legacy I/O interfaces, overall system performance could not be optimized. Adding additional CPU and memory bandwidth to fix this performance problem only increased the cost without improving performance. In response to this I/O performance bottleneck, the PC industry created PCI Express, Serial ATA, and Serial Attached SCSI specifications. These high-speed, low-voltage serial differential links are capable of data transfer speeds several orders of magnitude higher than those achieved by the legacy I/O interfaces and provide an optimal balance between CPU and I/O throughput. The new I/O technology has led to rapid displacement of PCI by PCI Express, AGP by PCI Express Graphics, IDE by SATA, and SCSI by SAS. The legacy parallel and serial ports have almost been entirely replaced by USB, and the PS2 port function has also migrated to the USB standard. Now Intel is producing higher performance Core 2 Duo processors that require the high-speed serial I/O to keep pace with the processing performance. COM Express brings these technologies together in a forward-engineered modular form factor. The COM Express specification has room to grow. It was carefully written to provide longevity and to address the technology needs of a wide range of embedded applications. Performance scalability is built into the specification with the support for future speed upgrades of PCI Express, SATA, SAS, and Ethernet interfaces. Two footprint sizes are defined to support the growth to larger processors and memory configurations. The I/O specifications of COM Express support up to 32 PCI Express links that can be configured in any combination of by 1, by 2, by 4, by 8, by 16, and by 32 links. The COM Express specification supports up to 4 SATA or SAS links and up to 3 gigabit Ethernet interfaces. The mezzanine connectors support future speed grades for these interfaces, including 10 gigabit Ethernet for the network interfaces. The inclusion of the next generation I/O speeds makes the COM Express specification relevant well beyond the next decade and provides OEMs with leverage of investment. The low voltage serial differential nature of PCI Express, SATA, SAS provide more robust signal integrity and require less pins than the legacy I/O technology. This makes the PCB design of carrier boards less complex and results in a more reliable and compact design. Some of you may be asking, what about XTX? XTX is a recent effort by a group of companies to provide ETX with a second life by replacing the ISABUS signals on the ETX connectors with PCI Express signals. XTX may be the choice for you if you want to extend the life of your existing 5-volt ETX carrier board, but it will only take your design so far into the future. The XTX approach is limited as the number of PCI Express links is limited to 4 only, with no support for x16 PCI Express graphics links for external high-performance graphics, and no support for multiple gigabit Ethernet ports. The ETX and XTX connectors cannot support second-generation PCI Express and SATA signaling speeds. XTX lacks support within the open industry standards body, such as PCMIG, providing OEMs with a short-sighted leverage of their investments in XTX. Could XTX or ETX go through a revision and support the next-generation I/O technology? The answer is yes, if they change the board-to-board connectors. The data rate of the current connectors used on XTX and ETX boards cannot support the next-generation high-speed PCI Express and SATA features. Legacy products tend to increase in price as they near their end-of-life phase. Suppliers start exiting the markets and peripherals become harder to find, or they come at a premium. Chipsets will eventually drop the legacy I/O technology in order to make way for new features. These I/O options can continue to be supported by individual chips, but at an added cost to the board. Granted, this process can take years, and cost increases may not come immediately, but they will eventually occur. Just as the transition from ISA to PCI happened faster than people believed possible, the transition from PCI to PCI Express is taking the industry by storm. As COM Express designs move into high-volume production and replace ETX designs, the COM Express products will gain economies of scale, while the ETX volumes will decline. This will lead to a crossover point in which COM Express products will be priced below ETX products. At the same time, performance will keep increasing on ComExpress products. There's room to grow. There are limitations with ETX beyond only supporting legacy I/O, such as size and its power envelope. Again, these transitions can happen slowly, and that's why they often catch OEMs off guard. Now is the time to consider making a switch to ComExpress before an immediate change is mandatory. Are you planning a new COM design or upgrading a current ETX design? If your goal is to extend the life of your ETX design a little bit longer, ComExpress is not likely the choice for you. If you are planning a new design, ComExpress should be the only choice for you. Whether the justification is price or technology, ComExpress is the modular architecture that will enhance your product design for the next 10 years. Technology moves faster than everyone realizes. Design for the highest performance and the latest features, otherwise your product will come up short compared to the competition. If you play it safe, someone else will take that risk and design a better solution. ComExpress can keep your design flexible and upgradable for multiple generations and take the risk out of your design. Radisys has a large selection of ComExpress modules, including those with dual-core processors and dual-channel memory on a basic size module. Radisys is a premier member of the Intel Communications Alliance, ensuring that the latest Intel processor technology is available on ComExpress in parallel with processor release. Check out our website at www.radisys.com for more information on ComExpress products. Thanks for your time. Now I'm going to hand it back to you, Joe, for the question and answer session.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bob. That was very, very useful and very interesting. We've got a few questions that have come in from the audience, and I'm just going to go through them and ask Bob and Jennifer to comment on them. The first is ComExpress a good choice for high-end gaming or graphics display applications? Jennifer, do you want to comment on that?
Yes, I'll take it. It is an excellent choice. The processor performance and the by-16 graphics capability fit right into the gaming segment of the market, as well as the upgradability. It seems that gaming customers really want to keep the same design and upgrade the processor and get out of the churn cycle.
Okay, thanks.
If I could just add to that, I'd also add that the module support of both internal integrated graphics as well as the external graphics gives you a nice scalability point to scale for both high and low end gaming systems depending on their graphic and processing needs.
Okay. Do you see military applications for this, Bob, since graphics is now a very important part of the net-centric world and in the military?
Sure. I mean, it's the military is faced with many of the same problems. They have a very unique set of I/O around their applications and they have the need to keep up with the latest in processing capability and upgrade their modules and size it as the application needs, size the processing power to fit the application in the field. So I certainly see applications for it there.
Okay, thanks. The next question has to do with interchangeability and interoperability. I know PCMIG does a lot of interoperability events for some of the other technologies like advanced TCA and AMC. So this question, has ComExpress interchangeability been tested by using different vendor modules on the same base carrier board?
We haven't done a plug fest, per se. However, we have customers that have designed their carriers to use multiple modules, as well as we have taken multiple modules and used them on our carriers. And the interchangeability concept has been proven out.
Okay, good. The next one is an interesting one. What is Micro ETX Express, and is it part of the ComExpress standard?
Micro ETX is a specification definition that has been created by a company that is outside the PCMIG specification. It is not included in the PCMIG specification. And what it does, it takes the existing ComExpress module and shrinks it to, I think it's 95 by 95, and uses the same electrical pinout connections. It is not PCMIG compatible.
Okay, thanks. And the last question is a good one. Is it possible to connect standard PCI Express boards to a ComExpress system, such as the ones you go out and buy for your PC?
Certainly. the typical application would be, it doesn't directly attach to the ComExpress module, but it's very common for a ComExpress carrier to implement PCI Express slots using some of the PCI Express connectivity off the module, and then standard PCI Express boards can be plugged in. For that matter, the same could be done with PCI.
Okay, got it. A couple other questions have come in while we're doing this. What provisions are there for ruggedized ComExpress cards? I guess that may be maybe military or heavy environmental. Are there any extended environmental provisions?
Many customers have requested the extended temp range modules, and we are evaluating creating a product based on the extended temp range module. As far as ruggedizing it for military use, that is being looked at as well. They require oftentimes leaded components, which our ComExpress modules use the BGA. So there's some issues with leaded and non-leaded components in the military ruggedized market.
Yeah, RoHS is, of course, something that's affecting everybody. Thanks. That pretty much wraps up the questions from the audience. Jennifer and Bob, do you have any last comments before I close this out?
That's it. I'd really encourage, if somebody's interested in the differences between the specifications, to pull them down and read them, and I think it will be self-explanatory.
Okay. Just a little bit of housekeeping here. Last slide, this archive of this webcast will be available probably later today, early tomorrow, at the URL you see on the screen in front of you, opensystems-publishing.com/ecast. You can, of course, always email Open Systems Publishing to let us know what you think of the ecast and perhaps subjects for future ecasts. And also, for some additional information on ComExpress, Radisys has a white paper that's posted on their website, and you can see the URL there. So I'd encourage anyone who's got a further interest in ComExpress to go take a look at that. So that wraps up today's ecast on ComExpress. I want to thank the presenters for their very good presentations. I want to thank the attendees for taking the time to listen to this. And we look forward for your feedback going forward. So that wraps it up. Thank you very much.